The Holy Spirit said this very clearly and very, very just distinctly to me. There's a lot of believers who are exercising their faith, but it doesn't seem to be working for them. They're praying in faith, believing in faith. They have the word in them, and we've made this 30-day, if you don't mind, a pledge of seeking first the kingdom of God. And then the Holy Spirit said this to me very, very simple. And he said it to me yesterday, and it just came back in my spirit. Faith, the Bible says faith works through love. Faith works through love. Say it again. Faith works through love. If we love the way Jesus said we should love, then we have forgiveness for everybody who we run across in our lifetime that has crossed us. What happens is faith doesn't operate in the lives of a believer sometimes is because we're not loving people with the love of God, the agape love. Now, if anybody had anything done to them worse than Jesus, let me know. But Jesus had his body in the natural just ripped apart. He bled and died on the hill called Golgotha's Hill for you and I. And one of the seven sayings that on the cross, Jesus said this as he looked down to his torturers and tempters and everything else. He said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Now, I'm your pastor. The Bible said also in the scripture, it said, there are not many fathers. That's a problem in this country. See, it's been downplayed. But the Bible plainly says there are not many fathers anymore. But we need to have a solid, strong foundation, and it starts with love, God's love. Amen. We're going to take a moment right in your seat where you are, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to bring people to your mind that you have not forgiven. I can't do that. Only the Holy Ghost can. Now, I'm already getting resistance in the spirit realm. Because here's what I'm hearing in the spirit. I'm just telling, this isn't natural. This is the spirit talking to me. He said, I'm hearing this very plainly, but you don't know what they've done to me. It doesn't matter what they've done. I don't want to stop the flow of the Holy Spirit and the flow of God's miracle-working power because we got some nitpicking things about somebody we're not going to forgive. I'm being straight up to you because I'm your daddy. I grew up in an Italian home. I understand all that junk. Ma, how come grandma's still wearing black? We don't want to talk about it. What do you mean? They wore black for 20 years and they forgot who died that they were in black for. Trust me, I grew up in that stuff. Terrible, terrible. They wouldn't forgive anybody. They held a grudge and it stopped them from ever growing. They were on milk the whole time. I want to set you free today, not me, but the power of the Holy Ghost, if you will be honest with him. Because what the Holy Spirit's going to do, listen, is bring people's faces and their names, listen, and you're going to have to say, yes, God, there's something in my heart towards them still. Doesn't that, if it happened yesterday or 3 weeks ago or 3 years ago, I forgive them. As soon as you say that, you're going to release the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, and you're going to sense a release and an unction of the Holy Spirit that you'd never felt before. The Bible says when you take communion, what should you do first? Forgive. Don't take communion unless first you forgive, and that doesn't mean you forgive for 10 seconds and go back to it after. Now, Jim, you preached a number of years ago about 70 times 7. What did Jesus say if you're going to forgive 70 times 7? What did you come up with? In one day. Every 3 minutes, you hear that now? Forgiveness. Come on up here, Jim, and say that. I mean,
praise God. So when talking about forgiveness, you know, Jesus said, you know, he was asked, how many times do I have to forgive someone? 7 times. And he said, no, 7 times 70, which is 490, which is basically 480 minutes is once every 3 minutes. So it just hit me because I was working shift work. And there's 3 shifts in a day. Each shift is 480 minutes. So that was 490 minutes. So it's every 3 minutes we have to forgive someone. And that doesn't even count all the hours we're sleeping every day. So, you know, if you sleep for 8 hours, you have to do a lot more forgiving. So there is nothing that happens to us that we can't forgive. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Jesus said to forgive, and it's if we don't forgive, then our Father can't forgive us. So it is so important. It is so critical to forgive.
Thank you, Jim. Every three minutes. Now listen, before you take this moment to do that, Jesus had the weight of sin upon him on the cross. Remember in the garden he said, Gethsemane, Father, if this cup could pass from me, but nevertheless your will be done. The weight of sin of mankind from the Garden of Eden all the way through to where he was hanging on the cross and you and I in the future. I can't even comprehend that. That means God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes on him should what? Never perish, but have life everlasting. Am I right? Holy Spirit, talk to me over here. There are so many opportunities every day to not forgive. But there are also many opportunities to forgive. Imagine walking through this life every time someone says or does something to you and I, we don't like it, and we just refuse to love them because who do they think they are? The question is, who do we think we are? This is a world that literally has gone crazy. It's a top spinning out of control. I'm going to read some scripture and you'll understand it maybe better. But the only thing that keeps the Antichrist from showing up today is the church. Let me try that again. The only thing, and listen now, one of the names, and it's in Thessalonians, I'll read it for you in a couple of minutes, is he's called the man of lawlessness. Have you ever seen so much lawlessness in your whole life? This is a precursor to the actual Antichrist showing up. The Spirit's already here. The only thing that's holding back an onslaught like this world has never seen is the church. Get your finger like this. The Bible says in 1 John 3:8, for this reason the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Listen, Jesus showed up as a baby and they had killed all the babies. Everywhere Jesus went, they tried to kill him. Listen now, if Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil, hang on now, are you sitting down? This is good, this is coming out of the spirit realm. Where is Jesus now? To go like this. The greater one lives in here. And when evil comes against me or my family or anyone else, I will speak in the name of Jesus. I will speak about the greater one in me. And the Bible says if we first submit ourselves to God, Satan's got to flee and run. Well, I don't believe in the devil. Well, it's in the Bible. That's where I build my foundation on. My foundation doesn't have any cracks in it. If you have a cracked foundation, that could be a problem in the future, in the natural. I'm here to tell you, I built my life on the foundation of God's word. I'm still building it. I'm maintaining it. And I will till Jesus shows up. You understand that now? So I want you to take a moment or two right now. And if you're watching or listening around the globe, however you get this service, I want you to take a moment to ask God to help you bring up names of people who have hurt you, have hurt your mom and your dad. Listen, my two boys have seen my wife and myself go through stuff I don't even want to talk about. And they've learned over the years that God loves us and God will protect us, you understand? Because how many know words are powerful? Words are powerful. I can tell you, man, you're the greatest father and the greatest husband that's ever been. That builds you up. What if I said you were the worst father and the worst husband? What is he talking about? I will say things to build you up. The word of God says things to build us up. Don't let unforgiveness, listen, stop the love of God from flowing because faith won't work. Faith works through love, and that love is agape love, which means what? Unconditional love. It's not based on any performance. I'm here to tell you right now, God wants to set you free. I'm not asking you to respond. I'm looking not for your response. I'm looking for... The Holy Ghost will show it up. Take a moment right now and do that. And if that thought comes to you, I don't know how I can do that, God. Here's the problem. It's not you doing it. It's the power of the Holy Ghost doing it in. All right, look at me again. I got to give this to you. This will help you because I'm old school. When I was in school, I was always after school because I always had my mouth running. I was probably a precursor to being a preacher. Who knows? But after school, I had to write, I will not talk in class. Cover the blackboards. Those are boards you actually wrote on with chalk and erasers. And then the teacher told me, now erase everything you wrote after 30 minutes. Go in behind the school and clang the erasers together and get rid of all the dust. And the Holy Spirit said this, when we erase with the power of the Holy Ghost, all that unforgiveness, all those words become dust and disappear. That dust can't become chalk anymore, dissipates into the atmosphere. I'm here to tell you right now that the Holy Ghost, listen, here's what we're going to do. I'm just getting this fresh, this is like a fresh loaf of bread. I'm getting this. As soon as you have a release in your spirit of unforgiveness, I'm hitting on something. It's not me hitting on it. It's the Holy Ghost told me to do this. As soon as you get a release in your spirit man that God has brought those names up, things that he may even bring a little saying that came to you from somebody. You'll never make it. You'll never survive. Come on now. Get rid of those things because they're stunting our growth in the spirit man. Listen, here's how it's going to go. As soon as you sense a release in your spirit, I want you to begin to clap. What you're doing by clapping is taking the erasers and going like this and watching the dust of everything that's been said to you and about you, and they're gone forever. God wants to set you free this morning. In fact, let's do it standing up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go ahead. As soon as there's a release in your spirit, and I'm going to do the same thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I forgive those that have wronged me with words and with actions. I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Ho ho darabasonde. Yeah. Yeah. Come on now. Come on now. We release those things in Jesus' name. We release them in Jesus' name to you. Forgiveness. Forgiveness comes. Forgiveness comes. Forgiveness comes in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory. 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 Hallelujah. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for ministering life to us this morning. For ministering life to us this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. It's already been done at Calvary. It's already been done for us. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Our faith will begin to flow like never before because love, faith operates through love, and the love of Christ is not damaged by unforgiveness in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Something just happened. Something just happened. How many of you know something just happened to you? Come on, raise your hand. That's me. Something just happened. An explosion in your spirit. Amen. But did it get, come up here. I just looked at you and the Holy Spirit says, have him say what happened to him.
Well, I mean, forgiveness has got to be quintessential for everything we do. Today it was just a reminder. You know, I've had a number of things happen to me in my life where hold on to it too long. But as I was speaking to my daughter, you know, talking through her as she's struggling with something right now, it just really occurred to me where when forgiveness, you know, we often think about forgiving the other person, but when you're forgiving somebody, you're really lifting off that burden off of you. You know, it's intentional. It's necessary for your health. Mm. It's necessary for your well-being. It's necessary for your spirit. And no matter what you do, forgiveness is really quintessential to everything we do.
Yes.
You know, when the Bible speaks on it, it says, you know, when you're praying, make sure you're forgiving. You know, it should be the first thing that you're doing when you're praying. You know, give your thanks to God, forgive, then ask.
Simple. Powerful. 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 You just said something, whether you knew it or not, you said health. Unforgiveness will affect your health. I'm going to try that again. Unforgiveness will affect your health. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Something released and something let go. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now I can preach for a few minutes. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I had to tell my staff, listen, we're going to do these things on the overhead, and I never get to them. And I said, listen, when I get into the pulpit, God says something else. I said, just learn how to flow in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Say, flow in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We talked to somebody who was precious to my wife and myself, and my wife said, pray in the Holy Ghost before we pray. And they hadn't done that in I don't know how many years. Usually they just pray in English. But prep the ground with praying in the Holy Ghost. The Bible speaks about that so often. Pray in the spirit realm. Because when we pray in the spirit realm, this is the truth now, the enemy, listen, cannot interpret what you're saying. That brings confusion his way. One of the definitions of deception is brings confusion. That's not going to happen. Not going to happen. When I was a little guy, I had a transistor radio. I'm really getting back into the old stuff. Amen. Transistor radio. I used to put it under my pillow at night and listen to the, sorry, my brother, Yankees playing Minnesota. My parents never knew it. I put it on radio. But I got a lot of static, and I could get it and couldn't get it, and it was a little difficult to understand. Well, the enemy wants to bring deception your way and my way, which is like interference for the Holy Ghost coming in. Amen? But when I found that right little spot with my radio underneath my pillow, boy, I didn't move. I don't care if I was uncomfortable or not. I made sure my receiver wasn't deceived by the interference from anything else. Amen? Today they have satellite radio and stuff, but years ago when you went somewhere, you'd lose a station. What happened to that station? You got to try to find another one. I still remember traveling at night many times. I tune in WLS out of Chicago, powerful, 50,000 plus watts. You can get it almost anywhere at night. The signal goes a long, long way. But in the realm of the spirit, you never lose track of the Holy Ghost signal, because wherever you are, he is, and he'll go with you. Amen? How many of you are facing challenges every day in your life more than ever before? Guess what? You have the Holy Ghost. You have the power of God on the inside of you, and the Holy Ghost will match anything that comes your way and my way. He'll even beat the enemy to it before it even happens. Amen? Amen. Say glory to God. Amen. I'm telling you, seek first the kingdom of God. What have we been asking to do for 30 days? Last week was the first. How many of you got something this week in your time with the Lord? It's going to increase on you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. It's already done. Get into a relationship with Christ on a daily basis, because that's the only thing that will help us during these perilous times. How many of you know, if you listen to what's going on out there, first they said this, then they said this. Everybody's saying something, and this is what we got now, and then that changes before you even stop listening to it. Then something else comes. That's called confusion. There's no confusion in the Word of God. If you want to pop a pill, pop the gospel. Gospel means good news. It doesn't mean good news on Sundays. It means good news every time you pick it up. You ever get a little script bottle and there's script that what you can do and you can't do, and you know, mine just says the Holy Bible. When I do that Zoom call this week, I memorize this. We're going to be giving Bibles out in Urdu. I have no idea what language that is. Urdu. I'm going to ask the interpreter, what is exactly the language we're speaking here? She does a great job. Urdu. And Paulie said it. We give out Bibles, hundreds of them. And we've helped other pastors who can't afford it because of your giving. Harvest Church, thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you, and thank you again. Give yourself a hand. Come on. If you don't think your $1 or $10 or $50 is a lot, you put all that together and something happens. Let me tell you something. I'm a man of faith. My faith grows every day. It was small, like a grain of mustard seed, and we all have that, but I've been using it, and as I use it, it gets stronger and stronger, and I've learned over the years how to, listen, stop holding grudges against people that throw darts at me and at my wife. Listen to me now. I always have faith, but I don't always have the money. If you've got faith, you don't need the money. This building went up because I had faith. This is real faith now. I had faith. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, he'll speak and it never makes sense in the natural. That's how you know your faith is sharp and ready to go. The Lord said, you put up little signs where the layout of the church is. It took me like 5 or 6 hours to do that. And somebody, one of the neighbors said, Pastor, what are you doing? You got a pet cemetery to raise some money? Because the whole thing had stopped. It stalled. No money to do anything. A bank wouldn't give us anything. I just put signs up. This is the bathroom. This is the hallway. I corrected, no, you can't. That's the wall. You can't walk through walls, can you? Are you Jesus? And I told them, here's the hallway. They looked at the map and they were able to walk through the building before it happened. Listen, that's faith operating. I was ridiculed for faith like that. So was Noah. But you know what? One day, something came down called rain. People, what's that? Well, guess what that is? That's God's plan coming into place. And little by little, businessmen said, Pastor, we want to help you get money from the bank to get started. And it happened. They allowed the bank to give us some money. And then the beautiful thing, the sand. I never knew sand was such a precious thing. But we sold the sand and paid for the land. And we still don't have much money laying around. But listen, I had faith. I had faith. And I still have faith. I don't want to tell you what God's been speaking to me because, hey, I think I may find another church. No, God's speaking to me by faith, and you're going to be a part of what God is saying that this last day's church has for this community and what it has for a lost and dying world. This church is primed and ready on the launch pad to take off and do exactly what God has said to do. Now, just hear my heart here. Listen. Over the years, people have said, you need to do this, and you need to do that, and you need to do this. And the Holy Spirit has always said, no, I didn't tell you to do it. What happens is this. We see somebody doing something, and we want to jump on board. If the Holy Ghost said no, stay on the dock. There are many opportunities that come my way to preach and to do things outside this church. But most times the Holy Ghost says no. But then there are times he opens the door up. It's not about numbers of people. It's not about how much of an offering I'd get. It's following the simple obedience of the Holy Ghost to do exactly what he says when he says to do it. It says it very plainly in John's gospel. Jesus never did a thing unless what? He first saw the Father do it or heard the Father say it. That's how you and I can live if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If we'll do that, listen, this isn't for the preacher. This is for you too. Live a life in the spirit realm where everything we do and say is being led by the Spirit of God. Nobody else is leading us. Nobody else is leading us. My wife, Lord spoke to her about giving a little offering to another pastor we know. And she gave a figure. She said, what do you think? I said, I do half of that. And I said, but God gave it to you. So we sent the money. And guess what the response was? We needed exactly that amount to do exactly what God told us to do. I was going to shortchange God. Listen, she got the revelation from God. But she's always saying to me, like I would say to her, here's what the Holy Spirit's saying. Well, I don't get that, but go ahead. You do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. And you can't make a mistake, and you won't go wrong. Learn how to hear the voice of the Spirit of God. Listen, if Jesus said the things that he'd done, you can do also and even greater things, then we've got to know the voice of the Spirit of God. Listen, the voice of the Spirit of God will always bring peace at the same time. The words of men don't do that. The words of men cause great confusion. You understand that? But if we can develop a relationship with God, his Holy Spirit is not a dove flying around. His Holy Spirit isn't, oh, I felt goosebumps. Forget the goosebumps. God's not interested in gooses or geese. I don't know what you're calling it. When the Holy Ghost come on you, you may feel something. Go look at Acts chapter 2. It said what? And there was a, let's go there for a minute. My gosh, I'm just having fun. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 1, that's a good place. Acts chapter 1. Look at, Jesus tells the church in Acts chapter 1, go wait and tarry for the promise of the Father. It says it, look at verse chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, mighty when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. Listen, go over to Acts chapter 2. I'm just going to read. That's all I'm going to do. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, the day of Pentecost has fully come. We have already experienced it because the Holy Ghost lives in you. The Bible calls us in Corinthians the temple of the Holy Ghost. They were all assembled together in one place. Are you all assembled together in one place? Hang on now. When suddenly, we need more suddenlies in our daily lives. We need more suddenlies in our church services. We need to have a move of the Spirit of God where one song changes into the praise and worship. My wife and I, every Saturday night, drive in this parking lot and speak to every parking place. And we speak to your chairs. Every week, I just said every week. Why? Because I want you to experience what my wife and I experience every single day. I want you to have an expression of the Holy Ghost ready and primed to go for a lost and dying world. When Paul said, "Your living epistles read of men everywhere," he was saying this, your lives people can read. Your life, go like this, my life, everybody can read. What are they reading? You ever heard the expression? Oh, that's a newspaper you don't want to read because it's really got not too nice stuff there. Read, listen, there's always going to be, all news commentators have this, they take a different spin on the same story. I know Jesus and I know the Holy Ghost, and there's only one spin for me. I know I've said this before, but listen, the weather in Albany gives different satellite projections to all the stations. Then they have a different spin. This one will say 90 today. This one will say thunderstorms today. This one will say the high will be 79. Well, what are we listening to? Every person who says something about the weather, the meteorologists, have all the same information, but all of them have a different spin. Well, if this high pressure comes in and this one over here doesn't, and the storm that's coming up the coast may go out to see if this, they all have a different spin. Listen, they all have different ideas, but everyone has a different thing to say about it. There can only be one voice in our life. There can only be one spin, listen to me, on this precious word of God, and it's got to come out of the voice of the Holy Spirit. Jesus did not make a move with anything in his earthly ministry until first what? He heard the Father say it, or he saw the Father do it. The loaves and fishes always comes back into my spirit. And the Bible says in one of the Gospels, he said what he said about feeding them to test them because he already knew what he was going to do. Well, how did he already know what he was going to do? Don't be surprised now. The Heavenly Father told them in his time together with him. Jesus didn't say, ouch. You know how many people that could be, God? He just heard the voice of the Spirit, like Noah heard the voice of the Spirit, and he did exactly what God told him to do. There was never a time it says Noah went back to God and said, I don't know about this. He heard God, he stepped out, listened, and started walking on water to get his ark done. Amen? I'm here to tell you, when Jesus said, I've done this to test them, he said, somebody's got to feed all these people. You feed them. Why did he say that? Hang on. Because the Holy Ghost told him to say it. God will do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. God wants you to experience the latter rain. That means the Holy Ghost in the last days will show up and start prophesying through our young people. Amen. Glory to God. I've done youth work for years before, and Paulie and Nikki are doing it now. But a lot of times kids would come in, they weren't dressed right, they didn't have much. And people, some of the saints that are the ain'ts, you understand that now? They would criticize, well, how could they let them? They're in the house of God, not sitting on some bar stool somewhere, getting drunk. Jesus said it to test them. He said, you feed them. Now listen, what did the disciple Philip say? Well, how are we going to do that? What did Jesus say to them? Feed them. How many of you eat? Then you feed yourself. Amen. I hope nobody's still feeding you. Feed them. And what was their reply? Their reply was not a reply of the Spirit because Jesus was teaching them. Their reply was, I have a little boy's lunch, a couple of fish, and how can so little do so much? There it is. They were saying what's opposite of faith. They had been with Jesus long enough to know that when Jesus speaks, something happens. My wife said something a couple of days ago, and I said, boy, honey, I don't know where she read it. It just came in her spirit. But Jesus never asked anybody what their ailment was, but he healed them all. I once had an evangelist in here years ago, and he said, come tonight, we're going to have special healing for this and this. And I said, why don't you just have everybody come and pray for them to be healed? Because what's happening is you're not allowing some people to come because we're praying special. He said, you know what, Pastor, you're right. I don't want to be right. I'm just telling you what the Holy Ghost said to me. Come, and Jesus prayed for them and didn't ask them what their problem was. Are you hearing me? He just went ahead. Listen, he healed them all. The next person that goes by you when you're walking into a convenience store, you let the Holy Ghost come on you and you begin to speak to them. Hey, isn't it a beautiful day? No rain today. Yeah, and all of a sudden the doors of heaven are going to open up so you can tell that person about Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, give them a hand. My God. My God. Hallelujah. The right answer to Jesus should have been this. Okay. See, when God speaks to us by his Spirit, the response that we should have is, okay, try that. Okay, I'll do it. Instead of trying to figure it out. Because as the disciples looked on the crowd, and many believe it could have been upwards of 20,000 people, and they're holding a couple of fish and a couple of pieces of bread, that's not going to work. If I stood you up here, somebody today, and I was thinking about those little goldfish, put those in your hand, and where's Alex? You have those little pieces of bread and stuff. You have this miniature food, right? And put a little miniature bread in your hand like this and had you look at the congregation. Pastor said, I should feed you. But when God says something, it will never make sense to our natural mind. This building didn't make sense to my natural mind. Everybody thought I had lost it. I did lose it. I lost my mind to Christ. I always tell people when somebody, don't laugh at me here, but when people, you've had someone pass on and your loved one, and people, they mean well, I'm sorry for your loss. And I tell them, you didn't lose anybody. You know exactly where they are. I saw a sign go up the other day, lost cat, big colored poster and all colored in. After the rain, I couldn't tell what was lost. You don't lose anybody. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. See, that's the foundational principles in my spirit and in yours. You miss them, but you haven't lost them. They're in heaven, and someday we'll see them again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't that good news? Oh, there's that pill again. Amen. Glory to God. He said, pass the food out. When God speaks to us, no faith. Faith operates through love. Sometimes we don't know faith because we have unforgiveness. And if we have unforgiveness, that agape love doesn't work, and our faith will remain stale and stagnant. We've got to keep the flow of the Holy Ghost in our faith walk. Listen, so we can accomplish all that God has for you to do. If you're sitting here and you're breathing air on planet Earth, God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your life. I've struggled and fought with the plan of God all my life, but you know what? When I said yes to him finally, when I said yes to what he said to do and not do, I knew the presence of God. This church is here because a mommy and a daddy over here put their faith to action. We only would have enough money to buy a bowl of soup for lunch, two spoons and a couple of those oyster crackers. I never ate so much oyster crackers in my whole life. I let them balloon up, amen, and get nice and soggy, amen. We had nothing. I mean nothing. We were eating government cheese. Listen, I'm telling you, we had nothing, going to the day-old shop to get a loaf of bread. But today, we have much because we said yes to God and we learned how to be givers and sowers of our lives and the Word and God's money. And God has blessed us with you. He's blessed us with television. He's blessed us with radio. He's blessed us with the internet. He's blessed us with this warehouse next door that is exploding at the seams. I got to show you the picture sometime. It's me standing under the scaffold after the racks out there, and it was empty. Now it's full. Say full. Why is it full? Hang on, I'm going to give you a truth. It's full so we can empty it. And then he'll fill it again. What happens if it gets empty? Then he'll fill it again. I said, fill it again and again and again. Whatever you release to God, he's going to give back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Pastor, does it always work? It has not failed yet, and it never will, as long as the earth remains seed time and harvest. Your words are seed. It will produce a harvest in Jesus' name. When suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Suddenlies are waiting for you and I on a daily basis that come out of heaven to do something supernatural. Say supernatural stuff. Like a rushing of a violent tempest blast, and it's filled the whole house in which they were sitting. I have a little phrase here, not a breeze. When Rodney was here in 2000, he said it wasn't a breeze. And I wrote it right down in my notes. It was something that brought the attention of everyone gathered there. Because when God does something, man's looking. Man's watching. Boy, this is interesting. They're building two houses down here on one of these roads, and the Amish folks are there. And people are standing around. I saw people from the town. I saw the truck looking at these men building a house with such a spirit of excellence. They work together as a team. All the wood comes from where they are, not out of the lumber yard. It's straight. It's cured. And listen to me. That house is something you may want to put your mitts on. When they build something, it's going to stand the test of time. Because why? They have a spirit of excellence. When the Holy Ghost builds something through you, it's going to have a spirit of excellence because your life is not yours, mine's not mine. I surrendered it a long time ago. Amen? So let's go a couple more minutes here. Listen, wow. And then there appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were separated and distributed, which settled on each of them. Verse 4. And they were all filled, diffused throughout their souls with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. And began to speak in other and different foreign languages and tongues as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression in each tongue in appropriate words. Verse 5. Now there were the residing in Jerusalem Jews, devout God-fearing men from every country under heaven. Everybody showed up for the party. Everybody showed up. Are you showing up every day? I sure am. Every single day, seek first the kingdom. And look what happened. When this sound was heard, the Harvest Church has a sound about it. And it's being heard. I said, Harvest Church has a sound about it, and it's being heard. Some people will come to the sound. Other people, the sound will frighten those folks away. Wow. It was heard. The multitudes kept coming. That's what I speak about this church. The multitudes will come. They were astonished and bewildered because each one heard them and the apostles speaking in their own particular, not language, dialect. There's a language, but there are many dialects from that language. See, when God does something, he doesn't leave anything undone. Amen. Listen now. Wow, glory to God. And they were beside themselves with amazement. See, your life is so changed right now by the power of God. People are going to be amazed and come up to you and said, did you get a degree overnight or something? You're talking. I never heard such thing. They said that about Jesus. Who is this guy? They're going to look at you and say, who is this guy? Who is this woman that's speaking this way and praying for people and seeing miracles take place? Your neighborhood is about to be changed, Harvest Church. Your neighborhood is about to be changed, Harvest Church, because you live there and you carry the anointing and the power of God. Amen? Let's finish with this. Oh, my God. Then how is it that we hear each of us in our own particular dialect which we were born? And that set the stage for Peter getting up and doing what? He began to speak And how many people got saved? 3,000. Spoke again, another 2,000. Two messages, listen, 5,000 people got saved. Sometimes churches are so empty that they can preach 5,000 messages and two maybe get saved. But when the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost comes on you, watch out. Say, watch out. It's going to change. How many of you have a burden for your neighborhood? Go like this. Wave your hands so I can see. Then stop right where you are right now and start praying for your neighborhood. Go ahead. If you know names of some folks, go ahead. If you live in the woods, pray for the bears and the chickens and everything else. But start praying for your neighborhood. Go ahead. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Save them. God, save them. God, save them in Jesus' name. Bring peace into their house. There's somebody in one of your neighborhoods, I don't know whose, but they're in a hospital bed and they've been diagnosed with cancer. Listen to me now. And hospice has showed up. And the Holy Ghost is telling you, you need to show up. You need to ask permission if you could pray with that person. Whew. I just saw that in the spirit realm, to pray with that person. But I don't know them. God knows them. He knows you. He's got a plan for your life. But what if nothing changes? It's already changed. Everything has already changed. What if they don't get better? God's not asking you that. He's asking you to pray with them because for them to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior is even greater. Amen? To be absent from the body, present with the Lord in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. How many of you really have a burden for your neighborhood? God, you really have. Go like this. Well, it's time that burden is lifted off of you because the Holy Ghost is going to give you opportunities to tell people about Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes. I've seen things in the spirit. Praise God. I see two houses, and both houses know where the property line is. But somebody isn't going to do what they're supposed to do because the last time their neighbor cut the lawn, they spit everything onto your lawn. God is saying, no, go ahead and cut it, and cut it past the line so they don't have to bother with it. Years ago when I used to put up fence, I was in college, and I came back home, and somebody wanted to put a fence up. So I went to look at the property, measured and everything, and he said, but my neighbor doesn't like me, and he doesn't want the fence up. I said, what's his name? Told me his name. So I went out there exactly where he had a pole. The neighbor had a pole. He says, guy, what are you doing? Oh, he's going to put up a fence. Oh, well, you know where the property line. Yeah, he told me. How are you? What's your name? And I shook hands with him. A soft answer turns away wrath. Listen, I said, if I can hook up the fence line to your pole, that's going to make your pole so strong that even a hurricane won't knock it over. You kidding? I said, no, I go 3 feet deep, man, bail out the hole, fill it with concrete. This thing will be so strong that if you came over here and tried to move it, you couldn't get in the middle of a snowstorm or a rainstorm. Okay, go ahead and do it, son. And I came in. The guy said, what were you doing? I said, I was telling your neighbor all about Jesus. He said, we can hook up the fence. I haven't talked to him in years. I wanted to say, that's the problem. That's the problem. Because the word rules and reigns. That man needs Jesus. And by just talking to him, the soft answer turns away wrath. And I told him, look, there's a benefit for you here. Your life is a benefit for somebody else. Your life and my life will cause others to realize there's an answer in this world that is totally confused and off kilter. I'm here to tell you that. The spirit of the Antichrist is here. It's a spirit of lawlessness. We see it. It's going to get greater and greater as time goes on. But Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. It's the blessed hope of the church. It's the blessed hope of the world. Nothing can stop this onslaught of the world and all that's going on except Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost through the church. What's holding everything back? Go like this. You, turn to your neighbor, you're holding it back. And when you get into the place where the Spirit of God speaks to you and you start stepping outside that little ring you call your home and begin to speak to the world around you, watch out. I'm telling you, watch out. I'm telling you, watch out. Your car's got to go in for service. You know what that means? If you sit in the waiting room, I got a congregation here right in the waiting room. That's how you got to look at it. Get yourself a book. Maybe it's the Bible or some other book. And don't go like this. Hold it up. What are you reading there? Oh, I'm glad you asked me. You know, you used to go in the doctor's office, the waiting room, all the magazines. They're not there anymore. And when they were there, you open up and there's a coupon to get something free. It's always ripped out. Remember those days? But now there's not even any magazines. I come in with a book. Had to go to the dentist last month. I always come with a book. The dentist said, what are you reading, Rev? Oh, it's a good book. Look at this. What's that all about? He takes time to ask me what the book's all about. Then the lady who's helping him out, what's the name of that book? I'm talking to people about Jesus without ever opening my mouth up. I don't ever put a book with the cover down. I put the book down with the cover up so people can see, because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you, start, God, the Holy Ghost can lead you to start doing things you've never done before. Bow your heads right where you are. Hallelujah. This has been a great time this morning with you. Like sitting around a fireplace and just talking with some tea in your hand. If you've been watching and listening around the globe, listen to me. Jesus loves you, cares about you. It's not something we celebrate at Easter time because he died and rose from the dead. This is an everyday relationship you can have with the creator of the universes, with Jesus Christ, who died and gave his life for you as well as he did for me and the folks here at Harvest Church. So Harvest, stand up right now and let's pray together. If you want to receive Jesus Christ in your heart, the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin, none whatsoever. But right now, with the confession of your mouth, just like if you went to an altar and you were going to marry somebody, you say things to each other. Right now, we're telling Jesus, Harvest, join me. Thank you. For dying in my place on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for taking my sins, forgiving me of my sins, making me somebody who's brand new. You may not understand it. You're going to be brand new in just a moment. Thank you, Jesus, for your life given for me. Hallelujah. Your life, Jesus, instead of mine. You forgave me of my sins. You have brand new life for me, and it's going to begin to take place in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for loving me. Let's welcome those folks that said this prayer right now into the family of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you live locally, come visit us. If you don't, find yourself a good Bible-believing church where the pastor has a Bible, he reads out of it, preaches out of it, and lives are changed, and you see people coming in and staying who receive Christ. I like churches with big altars. We have a big altar. People can come up anytime they want. Find a place that has an altar. Find a place that has altar calls. Find a place who somebody loves you with the love of Jesus Christ. Ask that pastor, listen, ask them what you can do for that church. Pastor, how can I help you? This is a little extra stuff. This isn't for this congregation. Find out his birth date. If he's married, find out his wife's birth date. Find out the anniversary date. Bless them with a little something, amen, a little card, a little email. Put a little something so they can go out to dinner somewhere. Love them, because they're bringing the good news of Jesus Christ that changed your life too, amen. Hallelujah.